Okay, these are continuing recordings by Dr. Chetna Kripalu. A question will be asked here, and then she will answer based on her knowledge and expertise and training. So the question, you know, is regarding the human body and physiology. Physiology refers to function, and there is an idea in physiology known as homeostatic regulation or homeostasis, which simply means balance. So I thought maybe you could elaborate on what your understanding of this is. You know, in the context of all the meditation work that you're doing, or in related areas like complementary medicine, it's a very broad question, and see where you want to go with that. But I think, as a psychoeducational piece, you know, what is it that you would like patients to take away from your understanding regarding physiology, regarding the function of the body, regarding homeostasis? Maybe we can start with that.
So, are you saying how the mind, body, everything integrates?
Well, that's a bigger question, but when we use the word homeostasis, right? We start with that and see where that goes.
So, to me, homeostasis means balance. Simply, if you put it in really layman terms or a simple term, it's a balance. So, literally, you're trying to see how all the elements in your being are in a state of complete coherence or alignment or in a state where everything's functioning beautifully. When I say beautifully, I mean the way you feel inside is your compass. So if you're feeling calm and if you're feeling energetic enough that it's, you know, coincides with the calmness, and you're not feeling anything else or disturbed, then it's a state of homeostasis. It includes physical stuff like, you know, not being in pain and not being achy, not experiencing anything in like shortness of breath or heart racing, fatigue.
Which is a healthy body. So I guess where I was going with that is that, you know, most people, if not everyone, wants a healthy body, right? But for the body to be healthy, it needs to be in the state of homeostasis, which is a technical term, and you're explaining it well in terms of balance. But the concept of health is much more than simply the body.
Absolutely.
You know, overall. So maybe you can maybe elaborate on that in relation to the body, in terms of health and well-being. Because, you know, I mean, I want a healthy body, you want a healthy body, everybody wants a healthy body, but the body is not always healthy. There are so many changes that happen in the body. Naturally they happen, or because they happen because of, you know, various problems or disorders or diseases or even psychosomatic problems. You know, so it's definitely a very broad question, but because your approach is integrated. So I wanted to just kind of pick your brain on that a little bit.
So every disease, if you're talking about chronic disease, if you're not talking about acute disease, now what is acute and chronic? So acute meaning something happening suddenly, like somebody gets an infection in the body, anywhere, whether inside or outside, somebody's in an accident, somebody has a fracture, somebody's has a intense headache, anything like that,
that's
immediate
acute.
Infection. Yeah, that's acute, for which you could deal with it in many ways. It depends on the person, and, you know, you can give them medications, surgery, procedure, whatever is necessary. Now, if we look at chronic conditions like chronic pain, muscular things, bone structures, we're talking about more in terms of metabolic conditions like diabetes, blood pressure issues, either low or high, adrenal issues where you have fatigue, chronic fatigue, or you have thyroid issues. You can go on and on. There's so much out there. So those are the things, or those are the conditions which have been brought on by us. And what I mean by that is, and we are, again, unconscious of this fact that how did we create disease? How can I want disease? Why would I want something like that? And when you say create, because people are kind of flustered, it's like, you mean to say that I brought it on, and they're not happy because but the truth is, it's not that simple. It's not that we wanted it. Nobody wants disease, obviously, but what I mean by that is, it is everything, all these chronic diseases, almost every single chronic disease in our body, physical body, is psychosomatic. And what that means is, it starts with the thought. So going back a little bit, as a child, you see children, are always happy. Even when they get hurt, even when they get something, they recover very quickly. And so do animals. So the reason why are they, how come they can do that? It's because of one thing. Because they stay in the moment, in the present moment, that means they are just living in the moment, every moment, moment to moment, and the present. So what happens in that is, when you live in the present moment, you just go through what's there and you're not extrapolating that or in your mind. So what's the in-between thing? The in-between thing which makes it different is your mind. So when I say your mind, what do you mean? So let's give an example of even having pain. So if you have a pain in your leg, and what happens is, yes, it's hurting in my ankle. Now, what are the things goes on in your mind? Okay, I don't know if it's a sprain. I don't know if I broke it. I don't know what else, but it's hurting. So the constant impulses coming through you because of your previous conditioning, belief systems, whatever it is, you are so focused on this pain that your self-talk, that means your communication from the mind to the body, is constantly saying that you're sick. And that means you're in pain, you cannot recover. It's all the subconscious element of it, how you relate to your body. So this is what is called suffering. So there was a saying with one of the famous saints who said, pain is inevitable because, there's always something happening in your life, into the body too. But then suffering is a choice. So if you look at things like that, so everything starts there. So we don't know it, that there's such a strong connection with the thoughts coming into your body. And so over time, if we stay in that negativity for a long time, worrying about things and being anxious about things and again, somewhere along the line, depending on your genetic predisposition, you are predisposed to getting certain diseases. You're going to turn the genetic expression on and get diseases like, could be diabetes, could be cholesterol, it could be any of these diseases, because now what's happening is you're not allowing your body to function the way it normally does. Now, if we didn't have the mind, the body is perfect. So the body knows how to heal completely. But what we're trying to communicate to the body constantly is, you're not okay. You don't know how to heal. You do not know how to fix. You do not know anything. Maybe you need the doctor. Maybe you need this other person. Maybe you need a medication and things like that. So what happens with that is the body is almost, kind of subject to all these, again, impulses, which it tries to adjust to. And that is not one. So there's no time for healing, essentially. So the healing doesn't happen according to the way it should. So that's the difference between children and us as adults or the animals. And I see this happen in my house, too. When the animals suffer, they only do it for a little bit. And they're fine after that. And over time, the body heals perfectly. Of course, even they get cancer and everything. But those are different reasons for that, in the animals. But that's the difference. So over time, we do change our genetic expression. So every thought which comes through creates a chemical response. And that is in a negative thought causing a certain chemical response and a positive thought creating a certain chemical response. And that creates a different hormonal issue. So that chemical response gives you it's connecting or causing a hormonal response. Then the hormonal response is going into affecting your nerve system neurologically. And then finally, it even goes to, a genetic expression it modifies. They even have said that these people who are positive and feel positive at all times or most of the times, they even have the genetic, they're called telomeres. It's like a part of the gene which have been lengthened. We know that the longer it is, people live longer. And the reasons even this happens is just to show that how powerful our thoughts can be in both ways, how powerful they can be to cause a disease, and how powerful they can be to undo it. So the good thing to know from this is however we brought it on, even if we don't know, now we can be conscious of our thoughts and at least the attempt to be more aware of where our thoughts are going and what it, you can replace them, you can change them, because ultimately you can. That's the point. Mm-hmm. So as you do that, the eventual goal is to change the genetic expression and not have a disease. And give the opportunity for the body to completely do its job, to do its work. And it can. The point is to give it that, you know, that that time and that space to actually do the healing part. So that is why we say the body is perfect, but the mind-body connection is the key.
So to re-establish homeostasis, particularly in chronic conditions, and of course acute conditions, but when there's chronicity, there is a sense that, you know, a person has a particular disease. Someone's got high blood pressure, they have diabetes, they have some other problem, whatever it may be. There's a sense of, well, I have this problem for a long time, I've had it for a long time. There's a sense that this is just going to remain like this, you know. And then there's also the relying on various medical procedures, medications, etc., to try to balance that out, to fix that, and whatnot. But what you're saying is that in addition to all of those medical interventions, which of course are needed from time to time, there is this massive mind-body connection, and you're talking about how thoughts themselves are impacting the homeostatic state of the body. You know, so someone has a lot of stress, let's say, a lot of tension, a lot of difficulty in their life. Something terrible has happened, bereavement, whatever it may be. You know, there's a type of distress that happens emotionally, cognitively, mentally. So that connection with the physical body is what you're talking about, that there's this mental connection with the physical body. And in that connection, the role of meditative practices is, based on what you've said, is to reestablish the right type of connection between the body and the mind, because there's a dysfunctional connection. So how would you distinguish between what's a dysfunctional connection, because there is a connection there, versus a functional connection, you know, or versus, let's say, a very healthy connection, you know, because we talk about health. So I don't know how you want to answer that necessarily, but there's that, you know, there's that continuum between really total dysfunction between mind and body, and then there is a total, really great integration between mind and body overall. You know, so in my mind, there's like a continuum. So I thought maybe you could elaborate on some of that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The reason why people feel a certain way, the need for medications, and there is a need initially. But while we're doing all of that, we know we have to heal at a different level so it doesn't just, you know, get worse. So that's where this comes into the picture. And it's the point is, they don't know that. Most of us don't know that.
Most people don't know that. See, like when you just said right now, to heal at a different level, that is clear to you. But I don't know that that's really clear to a lot of people.
It's not.
You know, so could you... Okay, so when you say level, what do you mean by that?
The reason, that's where the meditation comes in, and all the other tools which, you know, we teach in our meditation courses comes in, where you're uncovering this layers and layers of whatever we have, a false sense of self we have created over time. When we peel them off one by one, we start figuring out who we really are and where these impulses and the thought connection or the mind-body connection is coming from.
Right, because we identify with the disturbance. Again,
yes.
Disturbance, distress.
Yes.
Whatever the disturbance or distress, maybe there's a sense that that's me.
Right.
Right? There's that natural sense. Okay, so what you're saying is that that's really not who we are.
Absolutely. Okay.
But when that happens, that feels like that's me. Like let's take a physical body example. If someone has, you know, gotten hurt, like a bone is broken or some injuries, there's a real sense that the body is me and I'm hurt, right? The same thing happens emotionally or psychologically, that this is me. So are you saying that should not happen? But that happens for a reason also. So how do we you know, move out of that? Or, I mean, I just maybe you can elaborate on what I'm asking you here a little bit.
So, first we have to go, you know, how do we do move out of that is different. But the first fact is to know that there's something else, that you're not the person you identify with. So, if somebody's told, and this is because even the doctors and therapists and whoever are, because people rely on these people as and they trust them, and not that they shouldn't, but I'm just saying this is something new to everybody, including literally all human beings. So it includes the people who you trust. It includes the people who you depend on.
Sure.
So if the doctor says that you have diabetes and you have blood pressure and you have cholesterol, you now become this person and identify, let's say, you know, a Sue. This is a random name. So this Sue has diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, and so she will say she forgets who she really is, and because she was a different person before she found out she had diabetes, blood pressure. So the point is, no, now I know that I am Sue, but Sue is the one who's diabetic, blood pressure, you know, whatever, blah, 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 whatever condition that person is. So the communication between the mind and the body is you're sick. You are ill, and this is how the society is, because they think that this is the way people are, and this is who you really are. So, and that's where the suffering begins, because it's in the mind level. And
I have a question for you before you go further. This is quite profound, of course. You know, you use the word identification. So let's just say I go to a doctor, somebody goes to a doctor, and a person says, you have high blood pressure, or you have a particular condition, chronic condition. So now there's a real sense that, okay, that I've got that, this is me, this is, I have to deal with this, etc., right? It's very real. So as a medical professional, as a meditation teacher, you know, as, in addition to so many other roles, are you saying that that sense that this particular problem is not me? Are you saying that that's not really who I am? I'm something totally different from that disorder, that problem, that condition? Because I feel that I would have that. I mean, that's me. You know, there's a sense of that this is me. So maybe you could maybe elaborate on what you mean by that. Because, you know, anyone who's got a medical problem, they have to deal with that. If you got a broken bone, you got to go to the hospital and fix that bone. But it would be crazy to say that, you know, well, let the bone break. I'm not the bone. You know, who cares about what? So I don't think that's what it is, because there's a sense of deep responsibility to the body, towards the body. And maybe that's what you're really talking about, is how to enhance that responsibility. So just for further clarification on this point.
Yeah, so the idea is, if you look at it, let's go back a little bit in life. When you are a child, again, when you are, it starts all the way when you are in the womb till you are at this point. You always did not have diabetes.
Right.
So then who were you? Then you always did not have these medical conditions.
Yeah.
So then who were you?
Mm-hmm.
So think about it and introspect on it. So you are that child or that person. Mm-hmm. Yes, you were given a name. So you were that person which is above and beyond all these medical conditions. You have this, but you are not that, but you have it.
Yeah.
So your physical body is going through this condition, whatever you brought it on, or we have, like whatever
come on somehow,
diagnosis you have.
Yeah.
And that's imbalance created because the body is trying to fix itself, and we put a bunch of symptoms together and call it names. So you have this issue or anything.
Yeah.
Yes, your responsibility is to take care of this body, because you suffer, because if your body is not doing well, and so you have to fix it. But beyond that, you don't carry it with you. That's where the difference or our responsibility lies, in not identifying ourselves with this condition now that you figured you have. So the idea is to do what needs to be done when the doctor says exercise or eat right and, you know, all that stuff.
Take the medications and all.
Yeah, whatever you need to do, because otherwise it's going to get worse. So, but that's only buying time.
Yeah.
That is not going to fix the problem, because it's not one problem again.
Okay.
It's several things which is causing whatever you're experiencing now, and it's happened over time. It's not suddenly it's popped up. You are looking at it now, but it's over umpteen number of years. We don't know how long this process, because your body is perfect. It's always trying to fix itself. It's always trying to go through chemical reactions. So it's done all that, but because of our conditioning, and what I mean by conditioning is, yeah, it's this thought pattern which we developed over time because of what we go through. Yeah. Because we didn't know we have the power to shield ourselves from what happens to us outside, mm-hmm, meaning what happens in our lives. You can go through, because life brings you all these things which you have no control over. Sure. Like there are people who die in your life. You have certain circumstances. You get certain people who you've acquired over time, like looking after an elderly parent, looking after a sick child, going through an accident. Whatever the life brings you, those things are the way, and it depends on the individual, how they've identified and what they've made out of this, you know, the situation for themselves. And so that is what we're talking about, how it's reflecting now, yes, in your body, yes, and becoming a disease, yes, is what I mean by saying that we bring on disease, sure, to ourselves, sure, and we're not aware of it because we didn't know all these, you know, these things mm-hmm, could affect us. We know kind of an idea about how it affects us, mm-hmm, but we don't know to what depth or what extent this can actually cause problems.
Right, because, you know, you use the expression very interestingly, that we are carrying the problem with us. You know, so let's say, for example, a doctor tells me that, you know, I've got, let's just say, for example, bipolar disorder, if it's a mental health condition, or I've got, you know, some kind of fibrosis of some sort, or whatever the condition may be. So there's a sense that, first of all, there's fear that can happen. Like, oh my God, I got this terrible thing. That happens a lot with medical conditions. So that fear itself is an additional problem on top of the condition in itself. Maybe you can even talk about that a little bit. Because when you mentioned, you know, right now about not carrying it, that it really strikes me quite a bit in my mind. I think it would strike so many other listeners that, you know, who is it that is carrying what? I mean, there's, you know, like a physical example. If I'm carrying a pail of water, you know, there's a pail and there's water in it, and I'm the one who's carrying it. That's a physical thing. But psychologically or emotionally, mentally, we're holding on to a lot of different stuff, actually. Which, you know, kind of, a lot of it is just really just a lot of trash, just unnecessary things that are harmful, right? So when you talk about caring, if you can elaborate on who is it that is caring and what is it that we're caring, and then what does it actually mean to not carry that in relationship to homeostasis in the physical body? So it's a little bit of a broad question.
So what I mean by caring is, again, we talked about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. We are not aware of what we're carrying. And the subconscious is in between, which has a lot of junk in it. Like you were saying, all kinds of information, whatever comes through the brain goes into the subconscious. So you're not even aware of what is sitting there. Yeah. Unless you become aware of your thoughts and where it's going, you're going to get the disease. Because ultimately, where does it land? It has to land somewhere. And it's your physical body which goes through, because of what we spoke about, how these chemicals are formed, how the hormones are formed, how the, you know, behavior modification happens, how the genetic expression comes by, and how it changes your gene expression. So obviously you're going to get a disease, and it doesn't even have to be familial. You don't even have to have the family history of it. You can just get anything because of your own modification of all these processes. So what we're trying to do is by meditation and everything, firstly, going a step backwards. So let's say when you meditate, what happens when you meditate, and what is meditation? That means that you are completely dissociating yourself with this body, with this personality, everything, and going into that space of no mind or no body. You know, that's the ideal situation.
But that could be scary for some people. Just hearing that could be like, wait a minute, you know, no mind, no space, there's nothing there. We certainly want to be out of disturbances. But when a person feels like, okay, there's no mind, there's nothing, you know, it's kind of unknown as to what this might be.
But that's why one needs to experience it, because that space we talk about is only because you're fearful of it. But when you reach that space,
yes, there's fear,
there is a calmness, there is a neutrality, and there is nothing. There is no fear there.
So there's actually fear of letting go of the burdens.
Right.
Which sounds like a strange thing to say, but
it is, but that's why. So Yeah, okay, we come to that. So it is, because what happens in your life in general, I mean, yeah, in our lives, is we always go with what is familiar,
right?
Not what is good, what mm-hmm. needs to feel good. If you look at the emotional thing, somebody who's anxious, and that's the body doing it, because we talked about it in the class, actually, you know, to bring that up, is this thought pattern which has created certain physical responses in your body,
yes,
become over, like I said, what you've been through. It's different from different traumas, yes, what you've been through. So what happens when you meditate in the beginning is your body has so frequently gone through these circuits that it has gotten into this anxiety mode. So when you try to calm yourself down, when you become quiet, the body doesn't like it, because this is unfamiliar grounds and it is not familiar, even though it might feel good.
So this is a massive transition from the familiar, which has a lot of chaos and disturbance and, quote, junk in it, you know, the familiar, to the unfamiliar. So this is a very, very nice way of putting that. And that, to me, that makes a lot of sense. But so that unfamiliar ground, would you talk about that?
So that unfamiliar ground, even though, you know, it could help you in the future, which is going towards the better phase, the body doesn't know that, because it's gotten conditioned to the fact and it doesn't want to change. Because over time, what happened initially when we were doing this, you know, the negative impulse loop, it was waiting for you to say, okay, I'm not going to change anything till you're serious about it. But over the years, you were serious about being anxious. Mm-hmm. So then the body even changed at different levels, the receptors, to adjust itself, which we call homeostasis, which is the new human homeostasis.
Yeah, it's pathological one.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's become that. So when you try to change it, in the beginning, in a day or two, your body is going to fight it. It's going to become restless. It's going to say, no, this is not you. And that's where it's going to communicate with the mind to bring in thoughts of the same default mode, is saying, oh, no, this cannot happen. It'll give you thoughts which bring on the same reaction.
Right. So there's a very big transition the physical body itself goes through from that harmful homeostasis state, or what's called pathological homeostasis technically, back into a very healthy, balanced state. So to rebalance the body, whether it's obesity or other chronic problems, so that transition is itself somewhat unknown to a lot of people. How do I transition back into? They want that. You know, so I think the meditation is a piece of that. So maybe you can elaborate.
Absolutely. So it starts with the mind, because remember,
it always starts there. Yes.
Absolutely. This is what we're talking about. So
see, a lot of people don't believe that. But a lot of people would say, or many people would say, it starts just with the body. That something is wrong with me genetically, physically. This way, let me fix the body somehow. Let me do some exercises. Let me do this, whatever. But I don't really worry about my thoughts so much, because you know that's a lot of. But you know, people don't enter into that so much.
That's because it's unknown.
Yeah.
That's why. Because you don't see it. You only believe what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So you think by, fixing your body, everything's going to happen. But we know it doesn't work.
No.
It never works. I mean, we're trying to fix our body with medications. Trying to fix it with diet and exercise. Yes, to a certain extent, lifestyle and lifestyle change works. But does it really fix it? Does it really reverse it?
Right.
Probably
not. So your vision is really going to the depth of where these problems come from.
Yes.
Unraveling the etiology, which is looking at the causation. Etiology means causation. And reversing these problems in such a way that the root of the problem itself is destroyed, rather than simply maintaining a temporary state, or like a cyclical state of you know, just some symptom management, you know. So I think that the vision that you have, Dr. Chaitanya Kripalu, is very, very profound in this way, to try to actually unravel the depth of where the difficulties are coming from. So I think it's very difficult for a lot of people to see the significance of something like this. It's easy to take a pill. It's easy to try something physical right away. So
yes, definitely. But that's why everybody's in a different state, and the one needs to kind of introspect and say. And what I'm seeing nowadays is more and more people are getting sick, and with diseases we have no names for. We haven't mm-hmm. created them. We haven't created a diagnosis for them. Mm-hmm. And then we call it whatever we want to. Things yeah. like fibromyalgia only means that you're aching all over the body.
You don't know
doesn't
why.
Know why.
Yeah.
And then things like chronic fatigue syndrome, just the way it sounds. Right. Oh, you're fatigued for more than 6 months. We call it chronic fatigue. You don't have treatment. Yes, you have medications to kind of make it a little more tolerable. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you don't. And this is why the problem is. Because you're not delving into the deep causation of these things.
Yes, you know, and even the word diagnosis really just is a description of the difficulty. It's a series of signs and symptoms. Signs are what are detected by the medical professional. Symptoms are that which is reported by the patient. And then you've got, you know, manuals like the DSM-5 in psychiatry, psychology. You've got the ICD-10 codes and all that. These are all descriptors on all in the mental health side and the physical body side. They don't show you where the etiology is or where the treatments are. That's a whole different matter altogether.
Absolutely. Again, what are you doing with medications? You're just trying to intercept one of the neurotransmitters, the chemicals which we talked about, mm-hmm. and then you feel that they're okay. Yes, they may be okay temporarily,
yes.
but they're still suffering from so many different things
sure.
which you don't know, and they may even start having physical problems in the future.
Yes,
because
so it's a lot of
that.
Side effects and other
yeah,
problems.
Most of the people of depression have always some physical condition also, mm-hmm. eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, not just the psychological stuff, we separated it. That's the problem. We have to integrate it to say, how does this affect this? So where do we start and where do we
yeah.
go from here?
Yeah.
It's a journey, in fact. It's not
journey.
That you're going to fix it in a day, but even having that
understand, that's what we're trying to do here.
Understanding
yeah.
and
yeah.
that revelation of saying, hey, wait a minute, there's somewhere else I need to look into.
Right.
The beauty of this is when you start this journey, you find out who you really are and your true nature. And that is fantastic.
Which is not all those disturbances and the chaos and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when that's the thing about the mind.
Yeah.
If you really take away the mind, then it's beautiful because, yes, you cannot take away the mind completely because, yes, there's intellect and this, you know, and analysis.
There's a function. There's a certain function.
Yeah. Right. So you want to use your mind to achieve your goals, to use your mind effectively, not the mind use you. Because
right.
this is what's happening to us
sure.
now. It takes us from one field of awareness to the other. And
yeah.
we don't know how we got from one point to the other because that's the interlinking of
so,
these thought processes.
So there's an expression that comes to my mind, you know, or in this mind, known as psychological homeostasis. And this is just a term that, you know, I use sometimes or I've heard even at times. There's physiological homeostasis. 11 systems are there in the physical body. And then there is, you know, the mental homeostasis. And what you just said right now about the fact that we are, you know, we're using our mind in a certain way to recognize what that means, that an individual has the power to use their mind in a specific way for their health, for their well-being, you know, as opposed to being run over by the conditioning. So there's that, you're making that distinction. Could you elaborate on that distinction? Because you know, it's one thing to hear this a couple of times, but to really meditatively look at that distinction is what each person would really need to do, you know, to actually take the meditation forward also.
Absolutely. So a simple exercise is, and we did that in our you know, classes, is to just sit in, you know, quiet space and for 1 minute withdraw yourself and try and see if you can observe your thoughts. So in the beginning, what happens is you're going to have a stream of thoughts or maybe one thought after the other. But eventually, even in the 5 minutes, you're going to not have any thoughts. So if you really think deeply, what does that mean? That means that if you're able to observe your thoughts, you are something else.
Mm-hmm.
What are you then? There's something
yeah.
deeper inside, you
yeah.
know, which is observed,
that is observing.
Able,
yeah.
being able to observe these thoughts. But what happens is, we identify with the thought after thought after thought, and it's like a boat, like a boat on the waves, which has no, you know, like nowhere to go. It just goes with over the waves as it takes
sure.
it, and just drowns or whatever happens with
mm-hmm.
it. So you take yourself with every thought.
Sure.
It goes up and down. If it's a good thought, you're elated. If it's a bad thought, you're like, oh my God, I'm depressed. So this is what happens to us.
That's the thought emotion connection you're talking about.
So
yeah.
every thought has an emotion. So
yeah.
you go through those emotions with the thought.
Sure.
So if you let your thoughts control you, this is what happens. And most of us do that. That's why this chemical transformation or the modification happens over time.
Right, right, exactly.
And end up with the disease. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, because you know, this idea, or this what you're just saying, that we are not our thoughts, and other teachers, other spiritual people, so many have said this kind of thing, you know, that the thoughts are not really who we are. But when thoughts come about, or when, particularly when some kind of agitation comes about, which is much more, you know, detectable perhaps, or even elation, when something like that happens, there is a real sense of kind of sinking into that. It's like quicksand. You know, it's like a thought parade that goes on, but then the emotions are right along with that. You've got other memories that connect, and now one is like caught up in a vortex, essentially a mental vortex, which I think most people would identify with, including me. We've all gone through this, and we continue to go through it from time to time. So what is your understanding of that vortex in the context of the physical body? Because if that vortex continues, and that, you know, changes blood pressure, changes the way the stomach works, it changes a lot of different things. So there's that mind-body connection. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what happens when you go through this turmoil, through this whole like a storm inside. Then everything gets affected because the mind is connected. The thoughts are connected to everybody. Like I was telling you, the chemicals secrete. The hormones communicate, and different organs have different hormones. Mm-hmm. So the main one which gets affected for most people is the gut, the whole digestive system.
Exactly, a lot of fear is immediately there.
So you get a lot of discomfort in the digestive system, so it doesn't work properly. It doesn't really do what it's supposed to do. It doesn't digest properly. It doesn't absorb properly. And so you are, again, bound to have a disease because of that. Same thing with your heart. The heart rate races. The respirations are not working properly.
Yes.
The rest of the body is affected.
Sure.
So that's why, you're not feeling good overall.
Right, because there are life circumstances. You know, like, for example, just as an example, someone may be at work and something has happened at work. There's a conflict with someone or whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a change inside the mental field, which then changes the body. And this happens quite rapidly. I think maybe we can wrap up with this question here. Very quickly here, and then we'll continue. I'll make a comment on that.
Yeah, so that's why it's important, firstly, to know that there is some other, you know, that your mind is the, you know, cause of your physical illnesses.
That's a very powerful statement, and worth meditating upon.
Absolutely. So, okay. So do this experiment, this 1 minute thing when you can observe your thoughts.
Sure.
Then it'll kind of, that's your evidence to say that if you can observe your thoughts, then you can manage them too.
Okay, if you can observe your thoughts, you can manage them too, and the mind is the cause. It's like a major cause, let's put it that, right? A major cause of the physical health problems. All right, very interesting. We'll continue further next time.
Thank you.